Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. The outlook for Rhode Island's next state budget will come into sharper view when the latest revenue data is discussed this morning. Rhode Island Public Radio's political reporter Ian Donis has our story.
The annual Revenue Estimating Conference takes place twice a year in November and May. It's when legislative staffers offer their estimates of state revenues based on taxes and other sources of income. The latest revenue estimates are then used by the General Assembly when it makes revisions to the governor's proposed budget for the fiscal year starting July 1st. The $8 billion budget unveiled by Governor Lincoln Chafee in January included no new taxes. It closes a deficit originally projected at $128 million, in part through a surplus from last year. The General Assembly traditionally makes changes to the governor's budget before passing its own version in June. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Residents in Narragansett will have until June 6th to review a plan that would link the town to a wind energy project off Block Island. The town council heard public testimony late into the night last night before finally voting to suspend talks with Deepwater Wind. The company wants to build the transmission line underneath Narragansett Town Beach. A representative of local Carpenters Union, Tom Savoy of Warwick, says that as the council considers the plan, it needs to think about the good of the entire state. Deepwater Wind says it still hopes to start construction on the transmission line by the end of this year. Opponents of the plan say they're concerned about how it will impact Narragansett Town Beach, which one resident called the crown jewel of Narragansett. In Newport, resident Heather Abbott is at the beginning of a long recovery from injuries she sustained from the Boston Marathon bombings. She's been at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital since having her left foot amputated in Boston a couple of weeks ago. In an interview with the Providence Journal, Abbott says it's strange not to have the foot anymore, but she's trying not to dwell on negative thoughts. The Journal reports that Abbott will be honored at Fenway during the Red Sox Rhode Island Day. She is expected to return home to Newport on Saturday. And one of the three young men charged with interfering in the federal investigation into the Marathon bombings is now out of federal custody. Robel Philippos of Cambridge will be allowed to stay with his mother while he awaits trial, Bruce Gellerman reports.
Robel Philippos appeared in federal court in shackles and handcuffs, wearing an orange prison jumpsuit and left in street clothes and a baseball cap. Under the deal, he can't leave the house. He must wear an electronic tracking bracelet, forfeit his passport, and undergo random drug tests. A family friend posted the $100,000 bond. Prosecutors still stand by their allegations Philippos repeatedly lied to investigators about evidence found in one of the bombing suspects' dorm room. But defense attorney Susan Church denies the charges.
He cooperated fully with law enforcement authorities. He answered all of their questions on multiple occasions. And we're confident that in the end, he will come back to clear his name in this case.
Philippos faces a potential 8-year prison sentence for making false statements during a terrorism investigation.
A bill allowing states to charge sales tax for online shopping has passed in the Senate. Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed supported the bill, and he sat down with Rhode Island Public Radio's Scott McKay to talk about a variety of issues, including the impact online sales tax will have on Rhode Island's economy.
Good morning, Senator Jack Reed.
Good morning, Scott.
I hear a lot from small business people around the state, and I know you've been on this, is marketplace fairness, so-called, which means for a small business, you know, I go into a bookstore and I can browse for an hour if I like, which I love to do, and sure enough, I don't buy a thing. I go home, I save the 7% sales tax because, of course, online purchases are not taxed. It just seems unfair to our local business people here in Rhode Island.
It is unfair. Fortunately, I'm old-fashioned, so last night I was in the bookstore and I bought four books and paid Rhode Island sales tax. But you're right. A lot of times the stores, bookstores, electronic stores are simply showrooms for electronic transactions. We had a press conference with the Carty brothers, and they basically said people will come in. They'll get help for an hour or two by salespeople. They will actually have the furniture delivered to their homes. They'll see that it works out beautifully. They'll have it shipped back to us because they accept returns, and then they'll go online and get the exact same thing. It's not fair. It will tax Internet sellers at the same rate as local sellers. It'll help employment in Rhode Island, and more than that, the governor has indicated, and the General Assembly has already supported a provision that if we do pass it, he'll lower our sales tax by from 7.0 to 6.5%. So it's a win-win-win.
Well, may you live in interesting times, as we say in Washington these days. The same issues seem to come up over and over again. Mm-hmm. What's your diagnosis of the prognosis for gun control? What's went wrong? What do we think can be achieved?
Well, it's interesting today. My colleague, Senator Toomey, who did a remarkable job with Senator Manchin of crafting a bipartisan piece of legislation, which I thought would pass in terms of background checks, has indicated that one of the reasons, unfortunately, is there were some of his colleagues who decided that the president shouldn't have a success, even though 90% of the American people wanted this passed. And certainly after Newtown, I think most everybody recognized that at least background checks could improve our gun safety laws. I think there is some hope. Because the American people are reacting, because you're seeing people say, you know, this has to be done. It's common sense. Let's get it done. And we're in a procedural posture now. We could bring it up at any time and move the bill.
One thing you've heard a lot from Rhode Islanders about, and we do now as we come to commencement season, is this huge mountain of student loan debt that really plagues a lot of our graduates. Is there some kind of a permanent solution in sight to this student loan issue, which just keeps going back and forth?
Well, the first thing we have to do is what we did last year, and I was able to work with Joe Courtney from Connecticut. We were able to prevent the doubling of the student loan interest rate from 3.4% on the staff that subsidized loan to 6.8%. We have to do that again because July 1st, the one-year extension expires. We are working in the short run to get that done. But long-term, we have to, and I think we can, develop a system that is closely tied to prevailing market interest rates. So in this low-interest environment, you would have real savings in terms of your interest payments. But we also have to understand that there should be a cap somewhere along the line, because at some point, if they soar out of sight, in 81, they were about 17%. You can't saddle a generation of students with 17% loans.
There's been a lot of controversy about whether or not the FBI did the right thing in the Boston Marathon bombings. From what you know about it, how would you rate the job they've done?
I think from the time of the bombings, they've done a superb job. I think prior to the bombings, they performed well. In retrospect, you know, they had some information. It was very vague from what I've heard, not conclusive. They followed up. They were repeatedly asking the Russians for more information. The Russians were not providing it. They simply had two names, which they put in databases. The individual did go, the older brother, to Dagestan for 6 months. Frankly, I would suspect that the Russian authorities were as interested in, and have as many security people there as we could ever have. And we have to see if there's any other evidence prior to the bombings, any other telltale signs that should have been followed up. But I think they followed through. And certainly from the time of that bombing, their work and the work of the Boston Police, Watertown Police, MIT, that the MBTA police officer who was critically wounded, the whole community did an extraordinary job.
Senator, where's the line in Syria that we have to worry about getting involved with boots on the ground? What are the parameters?
One, we have to be concerned that we have the facts. There has been reported use of sarin gas. We have to make sure very clearly who did it, was it authorized, at what level. We have to have the facts, because first, we have to know precisely what we're going to confront. Second, we have to do it, I think, with an international coalition. Doing it alone is not going to be helpful. And we have to be very conscious that all the options we look have significant costs. We do have to be conscious, and that's what complicates this situation tremendously, is that there are hundreds of depots with dangerous chemical weapons that the Syrians have, and we cannot let them fall into the hands of people that will use this in the region or around the world. So the president, I think, is taking the right approach, which is methodical, and we have to be ultimately able to assess the cost of any of these options.
Another issue is something I know you take a lot of interest in, which is the submarines that employ a lot of Rhode Islanders in their construction down at both Groton and, of course, at Electric Boat in Quonset. There's been some talk lately that Electric Boat needs some state help. And I'm wondering, do you think that Governor Chafee and the legislature and the administration here is doing enough to help Electric Boat to ensure that they'll be able to provide all these good jobs that they provide in the future.
Well, the good news is that we've got two submarines scheduled for construction, and the contracts seem to be rolling out on schedule, even in a tough economic environment, tough budget environment. The next big issue for Electric Boat is not just the attack submarines, is they're ready to sign the contract for the next block of several ships. But after that comes the new ballistic missile submarine, the ones that fire the long-range missiles, the deterrent submarines. In that context, Electric Boat is going to have to make some expansion, et cetera. I believe the state has to do everything they can within their capacity. The capacity is not unlimited, and that's something that everybody has to recognize. But everything they can do to help Electric Boat, and we've done that in the past. We've provided lease terms that are very appropriate to them, to the effort that EB puts in for jobs, et cetera. We've provided other services. We should work with them every way they can. They're a valued employer of the state, and we do all we can in Washington to make sure, not just because these submarines are built around, they are one of the most significant aspects of our defense, both in terms of being able to attack submarines to enter contested waters and deliver ordnance if they have to, and then also the ballistic missile submarines, which are the best part of our nuclear defense triad.
Thank you, Senator Jack Reed.
Thank you.